hot game. The review is here. We got the whole crew, which is exciting. Eve's internet is working. Pelajon is back. It's been like a month since we watched the movie, so who fucking knows if we actually remember anything. We're going to get into characters we liked, some of the key plot lines. We got some gimme, gimme, or nah, and garbage facts. He got game style. But we're going to set up the movie for the listeners that haven't seen. Just kind of touch on some high-level thoughts here. John, exposition, Pelajon, get us going.
Yes, He Got Game, 1998, Spike Lee directed production, starring Mila Jovovich, sporting a shitty New Jersey accent as a prostitute, former Miami Heat sharpshooter Ray Allen as Jesus Shuttleworth, a high school basketball phenom, as the number one ranked prospect in the nation, Rosario Dawson as Layla or Lala, whatever her name
Lala.
Was.
Lala.
Whatever. Lulu is Jesus's girlfriend. And, of course, the ever handsome and afro sporting, which I think works for him, Denzel Washington as Jake Shuttlesworth, who somehow only got 15 years for murder. He starts off the movie in prison in Attica Correctional Facility in New York.
But real quick, are you going to say Ray Allen's a former Heat and not a former Celtic?
Yeah, former Heat, sharpshooter.
But
Ray
Allen, if he's going to the Hall of Fame, you're not going Celtic there. You're going Heat.
No, he's going into the Hall of Fame for the game tying shot in Game 6 of the 2013 NBA Finals against the San Antonio Spurs. And that's also, the Ray Allen I remember.
One other
Ray Allen was on the Bucks when he was in this movie. He was a Milwaukee Buck when he starred in this movie.
Whoa. It's not time for garbage facts.
Whoa. Oh, hey-o. Esteban. I was also going to just say, short ombudsman, you don't say it's produced by Spike Lee. You say it's a Spike Lee joint. This is a little ombudsman for you.
Like a marijuana thing?
Very true.
Hey, I just got to tell you guys one thing to know about this movie. I've paid for it 3 times. And I'm not fucking proud.
Wait. You don't have HBO Max?
That is correct. I knew Eve was going to be like, you don't have the 50 streaming services? No, I don't have HBO Max. And I made a mistake of buying it one night at about 10:30 at night. And I only have a 2-day rental on it. So I only got halfway through, got caught up in some other shit the next day, had to buy it again to finish it. And then it took us so long to do this review, I had to buy it again. So I've spent a lot of money on this review. And I just wanted you guys to know that.
Amazon Prime, $1.99 or whatever, $2.99.
I think it was that's the thing. It was $3.99, I think. I'm up to like $12 on this movie. Should have bought it.
You could have got a month of HBO Max. And you could have watched Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League instead of
Is that anything?
You overpaid.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Do you guys think the quick movie? Did you guys like the movie? I mean,
no.
Good, bad, eh?
No, didn't like it. give me what's that weird white guy's name from
Woody Harrelson?
No. What was the first movie? Oh yeah, who's yours?
Jimmy Chitwood.
Yeah, no, the old man. What is his name? Oh,
Gene
my God.
Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
Knock the dust off.
Give me Gene Hack. Yeah, give me Gene Hackman any day. I'm just like, wow.
At least Hoosiers was like laugh out loud funny, especially when Gene pressed his lips against a much younger woman's face. He Got Game. A
lot of Edwards.
And Hoosiers I viewed from a lens of nostalgia, right? Like I was almost prone to wanting to like it. And He Got Game, I remembered kind of fondly, but then I watched it. It kind of fell flat for me. Esteban, how did it work out for you?
I mean, it was okay. I know that we're going to give a grand rating at the end of this, but I feel like it was all right. Like it was enjoyable the first time, but then the third time that I watched it again to prepare, just like you dubs for this podcast. I really had a tough time getting through the second watching just to take notes as per Eve's recommendation. And that was just miserable, that second round.
I have never seen this movie prior to this podcast, and I've only watched it once. I could not watch it again.
Couldn't do it again. Yeah. So for me, John's brought this up before. Movies shouldn't be like 2.5 hours. And that one, you know, it was. No, they shouldn't. And this
like
one,
Lord of the Rings.
No, yeah. I mean it's about an hour too long. Eve, yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I
mean,
but I also felt like if they just got rid of the Denzel Hooker storyline, which we'll get into, I just didn't get that. That was the part for me. It's like you could have saved the 30 minutes of the movie that sucked the most, and it would have been a cool movie. And
that was the only part I liked. So.
What? That was the famous
storyline. Right. So again, John gave us a little bit of an exposition, right? It's circled around the number one recruit in the nation. He's being recruited to go to the NBA, to go to these big colleges. All of the characters in the movie are oftentimes trying to get him to do something, and it's really circled around his father, who murdered his mother, is released from jail to try to convince him to go to a certain college because the governor – we're going to get into that because that chick got kind of
– I mean, it's,
let's introduce the characters. Let's introduce the characters. Let's start with Jesus Shuttlesworth, played by Ray Allen. He's a main character, number one recruit in the country. You know, dope story. I mean, his dad killed his mom and he raised his sister by himself in the projects. You're immediately rooting for him. And for me, my main takeaway is – there's a lot of basketball movies out there. Ray Allen is a fucking baller. So when you watch him in warm-ups and hooping a little bit, he acts that part out real well. I mean, he's got a butter jumper. He's 6'6". He looks legit on the court. A lot of other things. What were you guys' thoughts on Jesus Shuttlesworth?
Yeah, he's. I was approaching this movie as, oh, it's Ray Allen. They must really minimize his role. He's not, you know, right. A professional actor. And I was surprised at how much, because I didn't remember this from my past. Like, I didn't associate Ray Allen as a professional basketball player when I originally saw the movie, you know, 20-some years ago. But now, looking at it, I'm like, oh, Ray Allen, a serviceable enough actor. Like, not bad. He's not going to get nominated for anything, but he's good enough.
He's playing a teenager, you know? Like, I'm not expecting it to be Leonardo DiCaprio and What's Eating Gilbert Grape, where we're all convinced that he's mentally retarded. But, like, he played the spot of a up-and-coming basketball player in, like, a low-income area, black dude that is, like, trying to, like, make ends meet and, like, be a good person and deal with all the other shit in his life. I don't know. I like
to. Are you saying it was an easy role to play? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that there's some forgiveness as far as like judging him as an actor on the scale of like Johnny Depp or something. Like he's not. Okay. This is not going to be an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, he showed very little emotion throughout the entire movie, which kind of threw me off a little bit. Like even when he got mad, he didn't really. It seemed like he was faking being mad. I don't know. Like that part didn't land with me. Like I'm not as positive on Ray Allen's performance as you guys are. I think.
I think I'm there with you. He wasn't great. He wasn't great.
But you've met guys like that, right? Like unemotional people.
Got a point. Like he, it, part of his shtick was like he was holding in kind of the anger from his childhood. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think you can give him a pass. He did okay. One thing I wanted to throw out there, this is sort of unrelated, but did you guys see that one? It was later in the movie where he's wearing a wife beater with overalls as his outfit. And I was thinking to myself, could I pull off that outfit?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. That's just around the horn. No. Okay. All right, John, you were going to say something. Sorry.
Did you hear the Coney Island references? Sorry. I was thinking back to like this whole Brooklyn Coney Island thing. At first, when I was watching the movie, I had no idea where they were even shooting it. It took me a while to get into the zone of where they were at. Sorry, go ahead, John.
Wait,
it's okay. Someone spelled out later. It was like Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn, anyways. And they talked a lot about Coney Island. Jesus being from Coney Island. I was just gonna say about Ray Allen. Yes, while I thought it was he did a serviceable enough job. It was probably a lot of the movie doing a lot of work for him because. Dubs, to your point, it wasn't that hard of a role. All he had to do, like, he didn't actually initiate any conflict or any dialogue. Everything kind of happened to him, and then Ray Allen reacted to it. And didn't react. He reacted kind of like a stiff cardboard cutout a lot of the time. But, you know, enough that I thought he was a real human being.
In fairness, I think that was Eve's point. So I'm going to give her credit for that point that she made. Hey,
Giving me credit, huh?
Yep, I was going to do that. Let's move on. Jake Shuttlesworth. So you just covered Jesus. Jake is played by Denzel Washington. He's the father of Jesus. He killed Jesus's mother by accidentally pushing her to the floor when he was drunk. His purpose in the movie is to try to get Jesus to go to a specific school. For me, I thought he was definitely the best actor in the movie. And most of the scenes in that he was involved in were the best scenes. I did not like Denzel Washington's jump shot. I thought his jump shot was fucking – it looked like he was doing a throw-in in soccer. I didn't understand his jump shot, and it kept going in, and it was pissing me off. I didn't like that he took too much credit for the basketball skills that Ray Allen had.
What a smoking hot take on your part that you thought – the scenes with Denzel fucking Washington were the best and most well-acted ones that there are.
I knew that. Laughing at it over there. Like, award winning actor.
Yeah, like one of the greatest actors in thespians of our time.
It's a pretty hot take.
Whoa, scorching. So it's funny. His motivation throughout the movie is, like we were saying earlier, the warden of the prison offers him time off or like an early pardon from his 15-year
really
murder sentence.
He even offers that, he like poisons him.
Just back up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when the warden comes to Jake in prison and says, hey, the governor, Big State University alumni, and what a great name, Big State. He's a big basketball fan. He was a shitty role player on the basketball team. He really wants your son, the number one recruit in the nation, to go to Big State. And if we give you this like shady early this like 1 week long release and you convince your son to go there, we'll give you an early pardon from your 15-year murder sentence, which seems light. 15 years seems a little light for murder, but that's besides the point. And so the whole motivation for the movie is Jake Shuttlesworth has a week to convince his son to go to Big State so that he can get an early pardon. And then I guess he was fed some bad food in prison, gave him a tummy ache, and so they smuggled him out that way with his tum-tum.
Can I just ask a question here? I was trying to make a clarification earlier. I think he ended up getting manslaughter.
I was going to say it's probably manslaughter.
Yeah, I think it was manslaughter. It wasn't murder.
So that's why it's 15 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, he said, I don't know, and Jake said several times in the movie.
I think it's the right sentence. I mean, he didn't maliciously kill.
Whoa, I thought we were going to get to that later.
Okay, good point.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I assumed it was murder because several times throughout the movie, Denzel goes, oh, yeah, I murdered my wife, by the way.
But he did it in like a really good acting way, because he was definitely really good at acting in this.
My wife's gone, but I did it.
All right, let's get through some of these other characters just to introduce them. We had Lala played by Rosario Dawson. She was Jesus's girlfriend. She was also trying to get paid as well by getting Jesus to talk to some people. And, absolute hottie. I think we already knew that about Rosario Dawson, but reiterated it for sure. Definitely a highlight of the movie. I would say that while Denzel's scenes were the best acted, my favorite were the ones that she was in.
Same. I'm with you. She was the highlight of the movie. Every time she came on screen, I let out an audible, damn.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no other way to say, whatever.
Damn.
I think her and the tech you scene, those are probably.
Oh, so the porn stars. Okay, got it.
I do want to get to the tech you scene, not to skip ahead, but I thought Rick Fox was phenomenal.
Rick Fox
did great.
What another great name for a college, by the way. Tech you.
Yeah. Like, they really did an amazing job avoiding having to pay any real colleges with Big State and Tech U as the two colleges that were really good.
Well, I think what they did was they poured millions of dollars into a 14,000-piece orchestra for the soundtrack and then left zero for naming rights.
Hold on. I do the soundtrack, which most of the songs in there were by Public Enemy. I kind of like Public Enemy's songs. Now, I do think there were some – yes – you didn't like the beginning or the intro or outro music? I grew up to Public Enemy rap jams.
No, hold on. I love Public Enemy. I'm talking about the orchestra that played over the dialogue throughout the entire movie.
Okay, maybe I just was oblivious to that. I don't remember.
Like
that
you
at
forgot
all.
About Coney Island the whole time too, huh?
No, I remember.
Did you
Coney
guys
Island.
Not notice the there was like depictions of the rides and it being at the pier, like Coney Island was like in the first scene. Like they showed, like, oh look, this is where it is, the ghetto, yeah. But it's right next to Coney Island.
So is it terrible that I don't really know what Coney Island is?
Yes. You're oh, white. Okay. You need to know this is part of your history. You know?
Is like, it?
Yes. Where all the white people went in the old days to go to like.
Well, I intentionally cut Eve off and kicked her out of Squadcast because I didn't want to hear what she had to say about fucking Coney Island. And she was ripping on me because I was white. So let's move on to the next person. The next character, Dakota Burns, played by, can't really, don't know how to say her name, Mia Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich.
Jovovich, bitch.
Okay, anyway. She's a hooker that Jake Shuttlesworth ends up banging without even taking off his pants. I'll be honest, I don't really understand her value to the movie. I certainly didn't like her pimp sweetness. He was a real dick. Maybe that's sort of normal for pimps. But anyway, Dakota Burns, Eve, you said your favorite part of the movie. I'll let you kind of tell us why that part of the movie didn't suck.
Okay, so in my opinion, Mila Jovovich is the best actor in this movie, okay? I think Denzel's pretty good, but like think of all the movies she was in during the same time period. You know, The Fifth Element, she was into Resident Evil. Like she was like diving off into her career at this point in time, and she has natural talent. So yeah, she was very convincing as a streetwalker. But I found that, like, this sidebar was a good break from me being bored by Jesus not being able to decide what college he's going to. So she had this issue where, okay, the thing I liked the most about her character was that she made it very clear that she was not on drugs. She was not on drugs. She was not, like, one of those hoes that, like, gets into, you know, substances.
Crack. Crack. She says she's not a crack hoe.
Yeah, she's clean. And so that right. means like she knows what she's doing and she's just doing it because she has to and that she doesn't understand how people are mistreating her. I don't know. I thought it was a really relatable character for a lot of women. It's where like, you're in like abusive relationships with people and like she kept saying like he loves me and like we're going to get married and all these things and I was like, "Oh honey, like it's not gonna happen," but I did enjoy the sidebar. And then Denzel, that was like the worst acting when like he was gonna have sex with her, and then he like all of a sudden was like, "Oh, it's been so long," and I was just
wait.
Like,
he did have sex with her, didn't he?
No, he did not. Didn't
Are
he
you
have,
sure?
I don't think he had actual
I thought
sex.
I thought he did it without taking his pants off.
That's not possible. Like, what?
Well,
do you
I thought he slipped his dick out of the little pee-pee hole and got his dick out, but never took his pants off.
Didn't see any penis. That's not possible. He's black.
Well, yeah, they were going to show his penis.
Well, but they should have showed something because there was no indication. I was like, he's just like grinding
right,
on her.
That's interesting. Did everybody think that Denzel did not have sex with her?
I thought no. he did. Yeah. I thought he did have sex, yeah.
Oh, you thought they didn't?
Yeah, well? I thought they didn't, yeah.
What? John, do you think?
Yeah, I thought he consummated the thing with his next-door prostitute neighbor.
He was being loyal to his dead wife. I think that's what was happening. He was just like, I just wanted like connection physically, but I didn't want penetration.
No, he explained it several times. I've been in prison for 2,300 days. Like yeah. I'm gonna come at the slightest
hint. Yeah, I think he just got his dick out, and it didn't take very long, but I'm pretty sure he had sex with her without, yeah. Wow, maybe this is interesting. We need to dive into that.
They were on a break. It's like Friends. They were on a break.
Eve, could you Google it? All right, there were a bunch of other characters, and I do want to just jump to my favorite, which is Big Time Willie. Big Time Willie, I'm not even sure what Big Time Willie was. He was apparently some sort of rich guy, and he said the N-word a lot. But I wasn't sure he was black.
I was like, is he black?
Okay, that's it. Actually, sounded how white people sound when they are racistly mocking a black person's dialect is how Big Time Willie acted. And during the scene where he's talking to Jesus and giving him advice, there's this weird drug sex montage that happens. Very memorable scene for me. I don't know if you guys agree.
Amazing.
What part
yeah.
is it?
No, absolutely. What was the quote? All those hips, all those lips, all those honey dips. It was so good. The montage, it was just a mesmerizing scene. That was actually the best scene of the movie.
Maybe the best acting too. I'm gonna take it back. I think Big Time Willie was the best actor.
He was some type of weird mentor character that Jesus listened to, and I don't think he was rich. He just had a red convertible.
It said Big Time on the license.
He paid extra for
the license.
Paid $20 for a vanity plate. But yeah, I guess he was explaining or expositioning all of the dangers of fame to Ray Allen of money, sex, drugs. You know, don't get caught up. Right. Don't let the pussy take you down.
John, the other
how do you spell pussy?
P. What did Booger spell it? P U S H I V H I V. Yep. That's the wise words from Big Time Willie.
That's Big Time Willie for you, right?
Big
there.
Time Willie. I kind of figured out classic. What did Big Time Willie want Jesus to do? I couldn't figure out. Was it tech? Did he want him to go to Tech U? I couldn't really figure out what he wanted Jesus to do.
I didn't understand his motivation other than him being some wise sage owl, a ghetto owl in like a fable. He was just to provide advice and then dips out.
He's like Navi from Zelda.
One other character that I don't know if you saw, John, because he's boy. But he's really quick part, but Rick Pitino. He looked fucking great.
I was going to say, yes, sexual deviant Rick Pitino makes a great cameo. His cameo lasts as long as he lasted in the bathroom during, in which he got busted for his sex scandal. So it was good, though. He did look slick. He looks like a vampire, does he not?
He looked good looking, I thought. I think he looked like a good looking vampire, maybe.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
He was the coach of the Celtics. I don't remember that. I don't know if I was not paying attention, but I don't remember him being a Celtics head coach.
Me neither. I saw that and I'm like, really?
Huh. Yeah. Absolutely. Wait, is this the time where we're going to talk about cameos or no?
I'd say yes. I'd say let's get into the characters, including the cameos.
Why are all the basketball coaches unattractive?
I think we just said Rick Pitino is an attractive vampire.
But I would
He's
agree.
Not
so
attractive.
The one,
what are you talking about?
The one guy, the temple coach, has always, I forget his name, but he actually looks like an owl, and they're the temple owls. The guy, it is kind of insane. In the same way when Chris Bosh played for the Raptors, it was kind of like, how does Chris Bosh look like a
dinosaur? Yeah. So hold on. Eve, if Rick Pitino invited you to a bathroom stall for 15 seconds, you would say no?
Yeah, I'm not going to get anything out of 15 seconds besides, come on me somewhere. I don't want it. Like, ew.
Well, actually, I think to John's point on a couple episodes ago, the cum was inside of her and ended with a baby and an abortion. So, yeah, no, good choice. Good choice.
Jesus.
I'm pretty sure that's what fucking happened. All right.
Where did you deliver the punchline?
Literally.
Into abortion talk. I was trying to bring up a cameo.
yeah. What cameos?
I was going to say Jim Brown, the most famous running back in Cleveland Browns or maybe NFL history, as the hard-ass cop who was literally busting on Denzel Washington the whole movie.
Yeah.
That was great. I had no – by the way, I did not realize it was Jim Brown until the second time I watched it.
Oh, wow.
Shit. I recognize this guy. You guys actually picked it right away?
I picked it up pretty early. I thought an underrated racist comment by the warden was when he told him that Jim Brown was black. And he's like, you'll like him. Like, just because Denzel was black as well. It was just like a really like, what?
So the character's name was Spivey. And he was, he and his white partner were assigned to like keep tabs on Jake as he's milling about in Coney Island for a week. And I don't know. I saw him like, oh, Jim Brown. How about that? Oh, yeah. He tried to have an acting career in the 80s and 90s until, beating on his wife kind of surfaced to the top. And people were like, we don't need to work with you anymore.
Can we go – going back to the movie, though, and Jim Brown and the other – they did a pretty shitty job keeping tabs on the murderer. It seemed for the most part the murderer was allowed just kind of – I assumed it would be like, oh, you're talking to Jesus. We're going to be about 30 feet away in case you try to murder someone again. No, they were just like, we'll check in with you tomorrow. Well, go get them. Well, here's some money for a hooker. I mean, what the fuck was going on there?
No, they put a tracking device on his ankle, which I didn't understand why they put it over his sock. Like, how is he going to take his sock off to take a shower? That's stupid. And then they gave him money and said, like, here, buy some essentials. And I'm like, you're just, yeah, you're going to get hooker money here. Yeah.
Didn't you tell him to wash his ass at some point?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And wash your ass.
Wash his ass. Yeah, but at the end, I agree with it. They didn't track him really at all the whole movie. And then at the end, as soon as the game is over, they arrest him. And, like, it's over. Like, you know, like they bring him into the car after he didn't sign the paper. Oh, wait, am I not supposed to reveal that yet?
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
who cares?
Damn it.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
This is a spoiler alert.
This is a spoiler. Spoiler alert. This is a spoiler. Spoiler alert.
I wonder if anybody's listening to this movie hoping they don't find out what happens. This podcast, they're like, God, I wanted to listen to it, but then they told me what happened. God damn it. All right. And we did already, you know, we kind of already talked about we'll get into the movie a little. Wait, does anyone have any other characters they want to talk about? There was the uncle. There was the sister. I don't know.
Where's the uncle from? Do you recognize him from something?
Yeah, he's on something. Yeah, the uncle that ended up raising Jesus in Jake's prison term. I was like, yeah, I know this guy. I couldn't place him though definitively, Esteban. I did like the uncle had a good line that I wrote down when him and his Jesus's aunt were fighting. He dismisses her with just a take your big ass onto the bedroom. Then I was like, oh shit.
Have you used that on Rachel yet or no?
I don't think I will.
And then Ray
Allen, unless I say it. What?
I was going to say Ray Allen chimes in with a very great piece of acting in his response. Like, don't treat my aunt like that. Like it was like very. Yeah. I don't know. It was very shy.
He was in Sister Act. He was in the Spider-Man movies. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe this. Spider-Man. Huh.
He's the other uncle, but he's black. No, I'm just kidding. It's not him.
He kind of looks like the guy from Good Burger and who's been on Saturday Night Live
no,
for years.
No, like, you mean Keenan?
He does a little bit, yeah.
Keenan. No, he doesn't. Yeah, he looked like he looked like Keenan had put on, like, aging makeup.
He looks like Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but, like, the cheap version.
Absolutely not. No.
All right, that's my racist comment.
I think you're – okay.
All right, let's keep moving. Anytime Eve recognizes that she's being racist, you know she's really being racist. All right, let's keep going. Storylines. Well, we already talked about the warden. So the warden frees Jesus to get. By the way, spoiler alert, at the end of it, Jesus does go to Big State, and the warden's like, oh, yeah, we're actually not going to let you out of jail. Which I thought was kind of fucked up, but did you guys see that coming? I kind of saw that coming.
That's just like any other movie where there's a prison, like, okay, The Replacements or The Longest Yard, or it's like, there's always a warden that's like, hey, if you do this, like, we're going to let you go. And then there's like White Liars, you know?
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, that's kind of that's happening. I did. And then again, everybody wants a piece of Jesus. You had Big Willie, you had Lala. Yeah, Jake. The coach was somehow kind of getting it, wanting him to do shit. The uncle's trying to get some cash. I'm curious y'all's perspective here. Who made the best pitch? And who were kind of the biggest douches in trying to get Jesus to make a fucking decision?
I feel like the dad, I think Denzel, made the best pitch because he wasn't trying to pressure him, but he was also trying to be realistic with him and being like, hey, I'm looking out for you. I actually care about you. You're my son. Then the second one would be Lala because she was very realistic too about saying like, hey, like I care about you, but at the same time, shouldn't I get something out of this? Because I have put myself into this relationship and I'm probably going to get replaced by some other bitches that are white at this other school that you're going to go to. So maybe I should get at least something. But then she was like fucking that guy on the side and it was really confusing. Using. And
but
I was,
then she also told him that he was fucking,
which is great,
too, which I kind of respect.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was fucking those white bitches at the college, so you know, like it's not like they were both faithful. Sorry, Esteban, yep. Do you have a comment?
No, I mean, first off, the Lala thing, I actually listed her as the worst bitch because I felt like the fact that she was banging the agent on the side or like. The family friend,
yeah,
agent, Like that was bullshit. No, actually, I really like the agent. The guy. By the way, do you guys ever play NBA 2K? Like he's the agent in that game.
No,
like is he really?
They made the Italian guy
character about him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
I thought he was slick. I actually was looking him up. I was like, is this a real agent? Like, this guy seemed really legit. Very, very sleazy.
Yeah. What did he say? He goes, I'm black. Or no, you're black. I'm white. What color is this?
Green.
When you're making a decision.
So factual. Jesus.
Yeah. Make the green decision. I'll be honest. I agree with you 100%, Esteban. I thought the agent, he showed him the cars. He had the fly money out there. He just flat out gave him like a shit ton of cash. I was like, here, fucking take this. Here's a watch. And I was pissed off that Jesus didn't go pro. At the end of the day, I was upset that he went to fucking big state. It's like, bro, why wouldn't you have gone pro with the agent? Like, what an idiot.
Well, I think the lamest pitch was big state. I didn't even see really big states.
It was covered by
Denzel, and then it was big state didn't put forth any effort, not even a call from the governor directly. Tech U had the best pitch, they not?
Yeah, let's be honest.
Tech U, I mean, you immediately start out with the raven haired white chick that kisses every man deeply on the mouth that she meets. John Turturro shows up as the coach of Tech University.
Yeah,
which was like, oh, that's John Turturro. Oh, cool. And then there's a most compelling pitch from Tech U by offering him a threesome with a couple of women whose breast augmentation jobs would suggest that they were not college students. goes ahead and accepts that offer. And it just looked like a fun place. It looked like a nice, wholesome place to be. Tech U.
A lot of STDs. Yep.
Was Rick Fox?
There was a lot of promiscuous white women that Rick Fox was interacting
with. Did you see the black women walking by when this all happened? They kept like making the looks like these white bitches. Did you see?
I did not see that.
Sure, I happened.
Missed it. I believe you.
Was it Rick Fox that was explaining to Jesus?
What about the sisters?
Jesus, oh, you don't know those white girls. They'll like, they'll take your dirty drawers, they'll wash them for you, they'll give you money, they'll let you drive their Mercedes. They are the best. The sisters make you work too hard. Okay.
And then he describes like calling one of them at 4 a.m. and she's knocking on his door before he hangs up. Like, Rick Fox killed as
the he really did.
Why is he always the bad guy? I remember in Holes, he was the guy that like
he was not a bad guy in this movie. What are you talking?
I thought he was fun. I would have hung out with him.
I loved Rick Fox. I thought he set up the hookers really nicely. I mean, he walked, he introduced them, and then said, "Hey, if you need any help, I'm outside." So he's even willing to help. And for some reason, was uncomfortable with the threesome. So, I mean, I just thought it was Rick Fox, class act. He was high-fiving everybody. He seemed really nice. Yep. People liked him.
What the fuck?
And was his name Chick, by the way? I was struggling with that. Was it Chick or Chip? Or what was it? I think it was Chick.
I think you're right. It was Chick for some reason. Yeah. I noticed that as well. Okay. But he's supposed to be a college student-aged guy at that time? Because I feel like he was already old Rick Fox at that point. I don't know.
Rick Fox is a good-looking dude, though. I did think that to myself. I was like, Rick Fox, got it together.
Lakers.
I can see why all these white women are into him.
Yep, for sure. Yeah.
All right. So any other comments on the pitches? So we had the worst one, La-La, from Esteban's opinion. You know what, Eve? I will agree with you. I thought the realest pitches were Jake and Denzel and La-La. I kind of liked – and they knew him the best. You know, they were closest to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm with you. All right.
Lala was screwing him over. I'm sorry. I just can't accept that. He was screwing another guy to get his money. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
He fucked other girls too. Hold on a second. He was fucking other girls too.
So yeah, but why can't she be a better person? Like one bad doesn't cancel out another bad.
He had a threesome.
Yeah, but it was. He did that for Rick Fox more than himself.
Oh, it was for Rick Fox.
What are you John Turturro, you don't want to disappoint John Turturro.
Yeah, you're gonna look at your boy Chick and be like, bro, I'm not really into this. No, I mean, and honestly, those girls looked like they knew what they were doing.
They looked like they had herpes.
They looked like pros.
Yeah,
they did. Like, It did look like you could probably see him in other movies.
Can we clarify that these are actually they are actually porn stars in real life?
Garbage Facts is not until later.
Ooh, okay. By the way, I have mentioned He Got Game. So I have mentioned He Got Game to two different people, and you know, basically telling them what we're doing this review. Both of them, within minutes, their first response was about the threesome.
Yeah.
See, it is from a young like if you haven't watched the movie again, clearly the scene that sticks with you for years, decades even, is the threesome scene. So, anyway, all right. Last thing, just to summarize the movie, really what this movie's about is Denzel's relationship with Jesus, his kids, even with all the turmoil that they've been through, Jesus kind of, in a way, I think, says he forgives Jake Shuttlesworth by choosing Big State. I don't know. I think that it was obvious that both kids desperately missed him, and Jesus couldn't fully forgive him until the end. You obviously had the epic one-on-one basketball game, which was awesome. I thought one of my favorite scenes. What did you guys think of Denzel's relationship with his kids and kind of the end of the movie?
That is terrible. It all fell apart. I didn't like the last one-on-one. I kept on thinking, you know, White Men Can't Jump is a much better movie and more fun to watch when they play basketball, when they play one-on-one or on the street courts. And I just thought it fell way apart because Denzel, he couldn't get his kid to sign the commitment paper right on the court after the game. And then because he couldn't get the pen to paper, the police took him away and they wouldn't let him out of prison. And then he walks too far out of the prison yard and presumably he gets shot off camera by the prison
no!
sniper.
No, he turned around and came back. What are you talking about? He threw the basketball. Yeah. He threw the basketball and it landed.
Don't even get me started on the basketball. Jake Shuttlesworth takes
basketball either. I didn't like that shit either.
Jake Shuttlesworth takes the basketball that he's using in on the prison court and chucks it over the wall of the prison because fuck the man. And the ball then sails into Ray Allen's court at Big State and bounces. And Ray Allen sees it. He's like, okay, yeah, my dad. And what the fuck was that?
Well, first of all, throwing the ball over the wall did have a symbol. That was the night that Denzel murdered his mother. So there was a symbolism to it. I agree.
I get it. I was hit over the head, Spike Lee. I get your symbolism. But how did you teleport the ball?
I can't agree more. That did kind of suck. And the end wasn't great. I don't know.
I was kind of wishing that they brought in somehow the relationship with the sister more. Because she was a pretty good actress. Like
sure, I agree.
I was enjoying her scenes with that. Like it would have been cool if they did a little more with that. They did a little more with like the mom flashbacks and stuff.
Jesus, come in for dinner.
It was basically her only scenes was that. And I felt
You know what? Eve, I actually thought of you in the scene where the sister is whooping the cousin in video games going, I'm the bomb, I'm the bomb, I'm the bomb. And it was kind of like, I think this is what Eve describes when she's whooping guys in video games. And I actually like the sister. I thought if you could redo the movie, get rid of the hooker. There's no reason for her to be in there. Get a little more mom and sister. And you could have improved the movie. By doing that, those two things.
More incest.
So I will quickly agree with Eve. Like I thought that Mila Jovovich's her performance was good in her limited spots as a hooker with a shitty New Jersey accent. But her storyline didn't go anywhere. It basically culminated with Denzel flipping her over on her tummy and then coming way too soon. And
that was it.
That was it. That's a love interest for Denzel throughout the movie, and we're gonna culminate with that.
I mean, he only had a week to find a princess. Okay, like
no, he did. He did go. I thought that was smart. And let's also not underplay the fact that he did pay for that sex. That was not unpaid sex. That was not.
Well, he
gave her a lot of money for the entire night, and that was paid for sex. So he did not like woo her to have sex.
But she was attracted to him because remember she got beat up for looking at him in the hallway.
Sweetness. Sweetness don't take no bullshit.
Do you know who I am?
It's a good pimp name, by the way, Sweetness.
He's not sweet
at all. You guys ever watched Deuces on HBO. I think they took a little bit of creative license from this movie, actually. You ever watch that? The Deuces with the it's about like the sex porn scene back in the New York City in the 70s.
No, not Deuces. It's called The Deuce. But yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
With James Franco. Really good show. It lasted for 3 seasons. It's really good.
I feel like the pimp relationship, it felt very similar from The Deuce, not Deuces, to this movie. I don't know if you saw any of that, but anyways.
No, I agree. Right. Yeah, I mean, it was so The Deuce went into how, like, porn basically was started by pimps and hookers, just filming what was going on. And, like, the pimps would still try to capture it. Anyways, I'm sorry. We're reviewing He Got Game. Never mind. Leave The Deuce out.
All right, final thoughts, final rating. We'd like to go 1 out of 10. John, we'll go to you first.
I'm giving it a 2. 2 out of 10. Yep. Wow. And those only points, one of those points is Rosario Dawson, Ahsoka Tano. And you get the other point threesome. For the limited you get the other point for the threesome, for Tech U. I got to tell you, guys, the soundtrack was the worst I've ever heard. And a lot of times I think the soundtrack, like, and I'm not talking about Public Enemy bookending the
Public
film.
Yeah, Public Enemy, Bob.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sweeping orchestra throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the soundtrack just gets in the way of the dialogue. Like, why do we have these big sweeping orchestra pieces over father-son conversations? It's annoying. And my initial thought was, are they making the music so loud and out of place to distract me from Ray Allen's acting? He's not that bad. Like, let the dialogue and chemistry between actors come off the screen. Don't shove John Williams down my throat or whatever that was. I would rather watch it on mute and subtitles than listen to the completely out of place music that was composed.
Interesting. I didn't even notice the music, so that's a fascinating take. But 2 stars from John. Okay, Eve, let's go to you next. What rating are you giving it?
I want to give it nothing, but I'll give it a 3.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just feel like it's not a movie I ever want to watch again. It was really difficult to get through the first time. I held really tightly to Mila Jovovich, hoping that maybe I would be okay with the rest of the movie. And then I was just really confused why Jesus even chose Big State at the end. I was still like, that was never answered. And
I think he was forgiving his dad. That was the symbolism.
That's the symbolism.
Yeah. And really obvious.
I just wanted to watch White Man Can't Jump after this movie. Like, that's all it made me want to do, is watch a better movie.
Well, I think White Man Can't Jump is a movie I want to watch all the time.
And then I kept thinking, why did Dubs not listen to me, and why have we not watched Air Bud?
Okay, hold on. Hold the fuck on. He Got Game, I agreed with it. And I'm not mad that we reviewed it.
Is it because there's no vagina and boobs and
It was heavily pushed by John, and I'd like John to back me up here. I was not the brainchild of He Got Game.
I had fonder memories of He Got Game than I find now that I don't. My childhood.
Listen,
was
we're not going to review all tens here, guys. I mean, sometimes we run into a few ducks.
We're definitely never going to review Mighty Ducks. I will not watch that movie again.
That's
it's a phenomenal movie. Ew. I don't know why you say that. I almost just went on a huge Mighty Ducks diatribe, but I'll hold it back.
Just hold it back. Please.
Hold it in, just like Denzel holds in his emotions and then releases his. Never mind. Go.
2,300 days later.
All right. Esteban, final rating.
Final rating is 6 out of 10. So I'm gonna.
Oh.
But I'm still not willing to go close to 10. I'm going to read off of my notes here. This is going to be good. Well-made, great soundtrack.
Oh, oh my God. Ew. Your taste is trash.
Monster.
Definitely a classic is what I said. Ew. Okay, so the great soundtrack thing is, like, in the beginning, in the orchestra, but the beginning coming in was awesome. Like, that was really great beats. Like, I really enjoyed it. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then as the movie went on, I realized it was just lasting forever, and it was a way too long of a movie. And then watching it the second time, like my 6, it probably started off even at like a 7, and then it crept down to like a 5. And then the last time I was like, I can't do this again. So that's how I kind of landed on 6. I feel like Spike Lee is trying to make a whole bunch of cultural points with this movie. I think it's actually more of a movie about the corruption in NCAA sports than it is about basketball itself. Like just the corruption that goes on with the these athletes and people getting paid.
And also in jail too. I think there was a little bit of There's a lot of corruption stuff,
right? Like it wasn't really a basketball movie. Like when you rank basketball movies, how much basketball was played besides 10 minutes of Denzel versus Ray Allen at the end? That's it really, right? I mean, you don't see any game action. So I don't know. It was okay. It was an okay movie. I don't think I'm watching it anytime soon.
You gave it a six. That's more than okay.
Okay.
No, I think six is right in okay. I think five and six, 4 to 6 is okay. Below 4 is bad. 2 is really bad. And I'm going to go 5. I was going to go 5.5, but we're all doing whole numbers. So I went 5. Could have been better. I was sort of entertained. I wish it would have gone pro. Yeah, I did like Public Enemy. And I did, you know, there was part of me that remembers I was, again, 13 when this movie came out. A lot of titties, a lot of nice titties, I thought, specifically Rosario Dawson. So I think there's, for the titties at least, I'm going to give it a 5. And the threesome. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Let's get right into Gimme Gimme or Nah, He Got Game Style. And the first one, because he made a small cameo in the movie, Dick Vitale. Gimme, gimme or nah, Esteban.
You know, by the way, to clarify, in the movie or just in general?
Just Dick Vitale in general.
You know, gimme, gimme. I mean, there's no question that he is incredibly annoying. Like, he's just a super annoying dude. But he is an energetic face of the game. And so I feel like, what would my childhood be like without Dick Vitale screaming at the television at me while watching anything? Like, he's always yelling. He's like, is he even alive anymore? Hey,
can I ask real quick, Esteban, and you're not prepared to do this, but can you just do a quick Dick Vitale impression?
No, I cannot.
Oh, that was good. Just like him.
Very good.
He is still living. He's 81.
Yeah, I know. He's still college basketball games.
All right. John, Dick Vitale, gimme, gimme or not?
Gimme, gimme. But first off, whenever I hear him call a game, I'm like, how do young people digest and react to Dick Vitale? Like, he's known to me as someone in my mid to late 30s. He's known for his over exuberance for college basketball in his color commentary. But do young folks that not know his shtick think he's corny? Like,
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I personally love him. And if I'm flipping channels and I stumble upon a college basketball game that he's calling, I'm going to stay there just to hear that reassuring, nostalgic voice of Dick Vitale getting excited for a game that's eventually going to end in a score of like 62-49.
Yeah. I also, just a small fact about Dick Vitale. I know this because I've watched a lot of the Yankees. Huge Tampa Bay Rays fan. There's not a lot of like famous Tampa Bay Rays fans. It's like diehard. He's always been a fan of the Tampa Bay Rays, even when they were the Devil Rays. So I've always thought that was kind of funny. And they kick our ass every game. So
hold on, can I do my impression of Dick Vitale?
Yeah, please.
This is awesome, baby.
Whoa, that was good. That was
diaper
really
dandy.
He's a diaper dandy, baby. I kind of like go to like some weird New York thing. I don't know. That was good, John. That was solid. Did you prepare that, or like had you thought about doing that at some point? Or
no, I mean I didn't think of it until you prompted us. I'm like, good. Oh, I need to toss out his catchphrases.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And Eve, am I listening to Dick Vitale off your phone right now?
Eve, could you do a little goddamn research before the show? All right, Dick
Vitale.
She's
like, who's Dick Vitale?
Give me or nah, Eve.
My initial reaction was nah. I had to look him up on Twitter, and actually, last week he's been doing a lot of videos from some vacation place. I don't know if it's Florida or Arizona, but he's doing like motivational, inspirational quotes or lessons of the day. And I'm like, well, I like that. But overall, he's just like an old white guy that I don't really care much about. So I'm just going to say nah.
Nah. Okay.
Gimme, no? In the beginning?
I was a little gimme, gimme, but I was like, nah.
Yeah, it's confusing, but it ended with a nah. So I got it.
just like the sex scene with Denzel Washington. so confusing. It ended with a not.
Depends on if he had sex or not.
Well, we she didn't. Know, it, either way, she didn't. Sure, he ended, got nothing out of it. Either way, she got nothing out of it.
Oh,
besides well, money. Okay. Sorry, I guess she got green.
It's her fault if she didn't come. I mean,
I agree with John.
Okay.
I agree with John.
Okay.
If she, once he gets it in, that's really all that he has to do. All right. So first of all, I think if Dick Vitale talked about garbage facts, he would say it exactly like I do. So I'm gimme on Dick. Just so you know, Dick
Vitale. Hold on. That's a great point to edit out and just reinsert in the show. I'm gimme on Dick.
That's what he said.
And mine too. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Probably yours, since I'm the editor.
Yeah.
He has the Dick Vitale Gala every year, and he has raised $37 million through that for pediatric cancer research. And there are a lot of diseases that are super sad, but pediatric cancer, probably near the top for me. My wife's oncology certified, works with pediatric oncology. It's the most depressing shit ever. So I'm obligated to go gimme on anyone that's producing $37 million to make that go away. So that's where I end on. Stick
save the that. Save the children.
Save the children. All
pay
right.
The teachers.
Gimme or nah, Jesus Shuttlesworth is the most talented fictional athlete. Eve, where are you going?
Nah, definitely nah. I think Bugs Bunny in Space Jam was way better, so.
Okay, yeah, no, Bugs did have some skills, for sure. Okay, good take, I think.
And Air Bud, too. Air Bud, too! I keep forgetting about Air Bud.
Air Bud could have been a good choice there.
Yeah, probably better than Bugs Bunny. All right, Esteban?
Basketball.
I mean, nah as well. I mean, if Ray Allen isn't the best basketball player in his era, then I'm not going to pick him as the best fictional athlete either. So I feel like I couldn't say yes to that. I feel like I toyed around. This was a great one, by the way, because then it got me thinking all the greatest movies. So yeah. I feel like I have a tie between Rocky Balboa and Wild Thing, Ricky Vaughn. I'm not sure which one does it for me.
For most talented?
Most talented.
Not to rip on this, Ricky Vaughn, he had like a couple games where he pitched great. Most of the time he got fucking shelled. Like in the first game, he's walking everybody and struggling. In the second, he's got the Terminator and he's getting shit on. He sucks.
Yeah, tell him, dude.
Ricky Vaughn's ERA is probably like 6.53.
Raw
with mostly blown
raw
saves.
Raw talent.
And Rocky, he's just running up and down stairs.
Yeah, I agree with that,
He did a little more than that. But in Major League, Ricky Vaughn, I agree with you, Esteban. He was really good. And I think he could have been better if the managers in Major League didn't throw his arm off. He was like their only pitcher. Whereas pitchers nowadays get 5 to 7 days worth of rest. Ricky Vaughn was in every single game.
Yep, and he beat the Yankees multiple times. This is why Dubs is hating on it, because he beat the Yankees in a kind of – I know that this is
– It does. It did piss me off a little bit. Very unrealistic movie. I would, by the way, review the shit out of Major League.
We talked about this
months and months ago.
So what? Let's talk about it again.
Yeah, Eve, goddamn. Why can't we ever talk about the same thing more than
not one? Everyone listens to every single podcast episode in consecutive order.
Right. Jesus.
Losers. All right.
You know I what? Good Jesus. Point, too. They are losers.
Yeah. All right. Jesus Shuttlesworth, most talented fictional athlete. Who's going next? John?
I'm next. I'm not. I barely saw him shoot. I mean, I know Ray Allen is a fantastic basketball player, great three-point shooter. Also, I believe he owns a chain of yogurt shops in Miami, which I don't know why I tossed in there. But no, he's not the best fictional athlete that there is. I'm going with Shane Falco. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Keanu Reeves as the replacement's Shane Falco.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, I'm not going to hate that. I'm actually going to go gimme. I broke it down. I think so. For me, I had Willie. First of all, you can't take a white person for most talented fictional athlete. I think that's ridiculous. Willie Beeman was a straight fucking baller, and he could run, he could throw, he had a little bit of everything. And then Apollo Creed. Going back to Rocky, I thought Apollo Creed way more talented. Didn't he kill somebody boxing? I mean, that was kind of ridiculous. But I am going to go with Jesus Shuttlesworth. He was incredibly talented. We do know, I mean, we do know that Ray Allen played in the NBA, was a 10-time NBA All-Star. So actually, he is the most talented, as none of the other people are actually talented at sports. So the only guy that I threw in there is kind of a joke, but I saw in a top three most talented fictional athletes as I was doing research was Ricky Bobby. And I did actually want to watch that movie.
I got to ombudsman your Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed did not kill anyone. He was killed.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I believe by Drago. He was killed by Ivan Drago.
You're right. He didn't kill anyone.
Oh, man. That's embarrassing.
Willie Beeman. Straight baller. But that's why I went with Jesus Shuttlesworth. So I'm gimme. All right, next one. Threesomes. Gimme or not. John.
I mean, at my age now, no. It looks like so much work. I mean, I can barely please one woman. You want me to please another one too? Jesus fucking Christ.
It could be two dudes and a woman.
Oh.
Well, no, I don't have any proclivity to, I mean, what would that woman do? She would just be a chicken on a rotisserie with two. Like, what do? You bookend the girl? Never mind. I don't want to think too deeply about it. But no, I'm not in. I don't think so. No.
Okay. Esteban, give me your non-threesomes.
For the sake of my health and well-being, I'm going to go with nah for this one. Just because my wife listens to the podcast.
the most honest of all takes.
You might as well have said gimme because you just admitted it.
No, I didn't provide any details of whether I would want to or not want to.
You just said it.
No, I respect not wanting to have your wife hear you say, yeah, I'm all about threesomes.
That's the fifth on this is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
/ saying no.
Yeah, Eve, if plead the fifth does not mean you're guilty, look it up. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
It means that you don't think that you have enough protection to actually not be guilty. But okay, sure.
I'm not sure that's what it means, but give me your non threesomes, Eve.
Fuck no. Like what? No. Gross. Thank you.
Okay.
You don't want to be the chicken in the middle?
I'm not a corn on the cob. Get out of here.
I think we're going to go clean sweep here. I'm obviously just looking at this for myself. And it's not just because I'm married. I don't think, to John's point, I can handle it logistically. There's a few go-to moves I have, but there's no way that I could focus on more than one person. I will say this. I consulted with one of our fans, a new listener, Dave. Shout out to Dave. He's been involved in numerous threesomes. He's been involved with two girls, one guy, and he's been in the two guys, one girl situation.
Nice.
And after having an in-depth discussion with him today about how those things came about and how they went, it was 100% confirmed that I am not capable of a threesome. So, yeah, I'm going to go nah on that.
You go, Dave. You go, Dave.
Yeah, and when I asked Dave, I kind of shamed him a little bit. I kind of shamed him a little bit, and he just wrote back two words. And I thought it was very well summed up. He wrote, I party. And that's all he left. And I was like, you know what, Dave? Well said. Well fucking said. I got nothing. I don't. I don't party. And so maybe I should shut the fuck up and stop judging.
So guest co-host?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get Dave on here. I think he'd be – maybe we just have him talk about – the threesomes. All right. Gimme or not. This is the last one before we go into some garbage facts. College athletes should be able to get paid. Eve, where are you going here?
Nah. I think that college athletes should just do their college time and then get into an actual professional league and then get paid as normal. If they're going to be paid, they're going to have to join a professional league because college is about studying.
Huh. Cool, Eve.
What tepid fucking... Did you just read this?
Okay. I didn't read anything. That came from my heart.
Tepid.
Yeah. John, please take us to a world that's better than that one.
I mean, I'm incredibly passionate about this subject, but I don't really want to fit it into a movie review necessarily, but I'll give you the bite size. Yes, they should be paid. I mean, the schools and universities that make money off of their athletic programs make them literally on the money of the broken, injured backs of these young, mostly black athletes. They make a ton of money off of them. So yeah, like the athletes should make money. And you know what? If you want to say college is about, oh, it's about learning, or oh, take your scholarship and all of your free library books and audited classes you get to have free, then you know what? Pay the coaching staff in free classes and books. Do that and see how that works out for you. Pay them in free tuition and not a millions worth dollars worth of contracts.
Okay. I like it, John. I like where you're going. And thanks for giving us the bite-sized version, because I think I've heard.
I think I've heard it before.
And I was nervous about this. I actually thought to myself, I might have to cut John off if he gets fucking rolling here. So thank you for recognizing your problems there. All right, Esteban. Give me your college athletes.
I'm going nah on paying college athletes. Wow, okay. Okay, so hear me out here. Hear me out. The reality is that the one and done rule that plagues
so dumb.
It is so dumb. Let the athletes go directly into the NBA and bypass college. I don't really see the point in mandating going into somewhere for a year where chances are they're training 90% of the time and really barely paying attention to school anyways. I feel like it's basically a way to support the colleges and ensuring that they have hundreds of millions of dollars flowing into them. So I feel like actually, don't pay the college athletes and then see what happens to those schools' programs. Let those really premium or premier athletes go directly into their respective leagues and then kind of go up in the farm system. Have a farm system for the NFL. Have a farm system for the NBA that's not just a shitty G League. I think that's the best way to do it.
All of those, I'm sorry, I'll get off my high horse real quick. All those college rules are, right, of you have to go so many years before you can go pro. All that is a collaboration between the professional leagues and the colleges in order to maintain their free minor league system.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that's why you pay college athletes, let them go directly into whatever system they need to go into to get to the league. Like, break that wall down, that agreement, that handshake agreement, break that down.
I will say the NBA, I mean, there are more and more kids that are either going to Europe right out of high school or just not going to college and doing something, you know, working out somewhere. And like LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck this. I'm just going to go make money for a year or two and then go into the NBA. And he's awesome. I'm gimme, though. I think it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that the school needs to pay the kids, but if Nike wants to put me in a commercial, if I'm Zion Williamson and I'm at Duke in year one and Nike wants to do a commercial with me, yeah. Or if I can sign basketballs and get $100 for every one that I sign, why can't I do that? I'd almost actually just like it to be opened up where if people want to just buy me to come to their school and make it really just a wild, wild west, I'm all for it.
So you want to be a basketball hole. You're Dakota from He Got Game, but a man who plays basketball. Up for the highest bidder.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what any job is.
Is it? Eve,
is like, I work in a field where if you want to pay me more, guess what? Fuck you, company. I'm going to company B. I'm not a whore. I'm just making money.
I said ho.
Oh,
true.
Yeah. Good point. All right. Garbage facts, baby.
Best podcast, what we regarded as. P&P in this bitch, where the party at? We know some dope ass shit that be hard to match. So listen up, y'all. Here's some garbage facts. Let's go.
We're closing out the segment with garbage facts. We've never fucking done this. This is my favorite segment. I love when we do garbage facts, but it's He Got Game style. So garbage facts, He Got Game style. John has already said he thinks his garbage fact is terrible. Let's go to him right away. What do you got, John?
It's so boring. The deceased Kobe Bryant was offered and turned down the role of Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Wow, I don't think that's that boring. I didn't know that.
He was going to be in the role, but he turned it down. So, yeah, Ray Allen ended up getting it. Also, I'm going to get a little bonus garbage fact because I felt bad about my garbage fact. Zion Williamson, who you just mentioned, Dubs, there are talks with Spike Lee, Ray Allen, and Zion Williamson to do and star in He Got Game 2.
What? God damn. They weren't funny garbage facts, but those are interesting garbage facts.
Yeah.
And don't sell yourself short. I liked both of them.
I was gonna say, John, that like the fact that you thought that the Kobe Bryant thing was lame, like that was actually a shocking finding when I heard about that. That's a really interesting fact. Like we could be like celebrating Kobe on the silver screen, and he was. By the way, did you see the reason why he decided not to take the role?
Because he was busy training.
Because he was. Go ahead.
I did not see the reason, but I'm going to assume it was because he was caught up in a rape allegation out of Eagle, Colorado.
Okay, not the same year, but fair enough. No, it was he was a rookie. He was 18, and he apparently was at his rookie season. He lost in the playoffs with the Lakers to the Jazz, and shot like a shitload of air balls. If you look up the ending of that season, he played terribly, but it was his rookie year. And so he was like very upset about his performance, and he decided to dedicate his off season to improving his shot instead of going and being in the movie.
So I thought ironically, to add to that garbage check, doesn't Kobe Bryant have an Oscar? Pretty sure he does.
He does.
Yeah. Shut your simp mouth.
He does.
For an animated picture, maybe?
No, I think it was a short film. It wasn't animated, was it? I don't know. Google it, Eve.
No, I'm not fucking Googling that shit.
Was it awarded posthumously? Like, I don't remember that at all.
No, it happened 4 years ago. It happened a while ago, yeah. It was
right after he retired.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I'm going to go into my garbage fact, and Esteban, then you can close us out here.
What about me, you asshole?
Okay. Sorry. Public Enemy had most of the tracks in He Got Game, and one of Public Enemy's most famous members is Flava Flav. He's kind of a hilarious dude. He's known for wearing that huge clock around his neck, and I kind of find him fascinating. So a couple garbage facts about him. First of all, he was a musical prodigy, played the piano at age 5, mastered numerous instruments. He accidentally set his house on fire in his childhood days while playing with lighters, and he's an 11th grade dropout, but he completed his graduation in 1978 and is a culinary school graduate, so a potential partnership with Chef Steph and Flava Flav. That could be in the works.
Is that why he's called Flava Flav? Because he cooks?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chef Steph, Flava Flav, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Did we watch different versions of the movie? Because you keep on going to Public Enemy, and I watched the version on HBO Max that was just straight orchestra, the entire movie.
Public Enemy had like 5 songs in that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did.
Maybe I was just overwhelmed by the brass section.
Eve, what do you got?
I was going to take the threesome thing, but I think Esteban's probably going to go for that. So I'll just say that.
Wait, whoa! I want you to go with the threesome.
Yeah, let's talk about how's it going with that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, go threesome.
Your favorite scene of the movie, almost every man that's listening to this podcast, is the threesome at Tech University with the two real life porn stars, Chasey Lane and Jill Kelly.
Oh yeah, sure.
Weird. Chasey Lane, familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys ever heard the song "The Ballad of Chasey Lane"?
Nope.
No,
that's not a song.
It's by the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh shit! It is. It okay.
Yeah. Good song.
Okay. Okay. Is it interesting?
Don't listen to it around kids.
Honestly, when I saw you wives. Nodding when she said Chasey Lane or whatever, and you started nodding, I was like, oh god, John's seen too much of her. But it's good that came from a song. So good. Okay. Good fact, Eve. I liked it. Esteban, close this out, man.
All right. So, so the final scene, right? Denzel versus Ray Allen. So the thing is,
well, technically the final scene was a stupid basketball thing, but you can go ahead. I understand.
Yeah. The heaving of the basketball over the, and then into the court. But the final scene with Denzel together with Ray Allen. So apparently the script originally was that Jesus was going to crush his dad 11-0.
15-0.
I think it was 11.
It's 15-0. It's 15-0.
Okay. They played to 11-0,
but they. All right.
Garbage fact up. Okay, I'm unbuzzing you right now. It's 15-0 is what they originally were going to do.
Am I allowed to give my okay? All right. So, Denzel though, as you may remember, actually scored a couple of buckets, including, I think, some of the first several baskets. Denzel.
He kept banking shit in. He kept banking it
in. Yeah, but they apparently that was a legitimate game of one-on-one, and Denzel played JV basketball in college. And so he basically interviewed Spike Lee afterwards, and they were like, they were pissed at Denzel for scoring because he was not supposed to be scoring. But he was like being competitive as well with Ray Allen. So it was supposed to be 15-11, doesn't matter, to zero. But it ended up being like 11-5. And there's a clip in the movie that if you play it carefully, it looks like Ray Allen is saying 11-0. But he's really, the audio says 11-5. Like, so his lips say 11-0, but his audio says 11-5. Like, they dub it over. So that's my garbage fact. Basically, Denzel's not that bad at playing basketball in real life, but he's definitely not good enough to beat Ray Allen. So,
okay, can we agree his jump shot was weird? Did anyone like the form on Denzel's jump shot?
No.
No, there's so little basketball even really played that it was hard to get into.
There's no basketball.
All right. Hey, that's all we got. That was He Got Game Review. Hope you enjoyed it. I think the general summary is probably don't need to watch it. Kind of sucked. It's kind of what we got out of it. Anybody have a hot close before we rate, subscribe, review, and get out of this bitch?
Play your favorite Public Enemy song as an outro.
No, I would go with the Ballad of Chasey Lane by Bloodhound Gang.
Fine.
All right. We'll see who wins. Rate, subscribe, review.
See ya.
Big State! I'm Gimme Gimme on Dick!
Yeah, that's right. This cut goes out to all y'all that's been missing us for mad years. One love, yo. Yeah, that's right. He's got game.
If man is the father, the sun is the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe, then why is this verse coming 6 times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much, but I write them like such.
Word.
Amongst the fiends controlled by the screens, what does it all mean, all this shit I'm seeing? Human beings screaming vocal javelins, sign of a local nigga unraveling.
Uh-huh.
My wandering got my ass wondering, where Christ is in all this crisis? Hating Satan never knew what nice is. Check the papers, well, I bet on ISIS. More than your eye can see and ears can hear. Year by year, all the sense disappears. Nonsense perseveres, prayers laced with fear. Beware, 2-0-0
in my ear. It might feel good, it might sound a little something. But damn the game, if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but fuck the game if it ain't saying nothing.